Hey guys, Pastor David here. Welcome to Victory Church. We're excited that you have found us, that you're joining us today. We're a community of authentic, Spirit-led Christ followers, transformed to walk in victory. That is our vision here at Victory Church, and that is what we're praying will become a reality for us as a church here at Victory. So I'm glad that you guys found us. I'm glad that you're joining us today, and we're excited about kicking off this sermon here in just a moment. God is good, isn't he? He's so good all the time. Worthy to be praised. We're going to be kicking off a brand new series today. It's called Unveiling the Mysteries of Worship. And the topic obviously is worship. That's what we're going to be diving into. And I'm excited about this topic. There's so much to this. God kind of laid it in my heart to do three sermons, but really this is his series, so we're going to see where he's going to go with this. And I'm excited about that. We're going to be diving into what worship is, how we worship, the power of worship, the awe of worship, and anything else God kind of lays on our hearts and wants to teach us. And I'm really excited about this because this topic, the topic of worship, is one of the most important topics for us as Christians. I mean, one of the most important topics. And not only about, but there's so much mystery with worship. I mean, it's a very mysterious thing, isn't it? I mean, you know, really, there's a lot of things about worship that we just don't know or understand, and we won't know or understand until we are at the perfect environment for worship, which is heaven. Because in heaven, there is no sin. There are no distractions, there's no noise, there's none of this other chaos around us. It's just you and God and then other people, but there's none of these other distractions, the noise, the sin. It doesn't exist, just you worshiping Jesus with abandonment, with no walls, nothing. I don't know about you, man, but I cannot wait. I can't wait. Like, Jesus, if you want to come back right now, we're ready. But right now, we're still here. We're still here in sinful place and sinful world. We still struggle with these things, the distractions, the chaos, the noise that's around us. And because of that, these things like worship, for example, they can be kind of distant to us, very mysterious, distant, and they can be even confusing. But what we find is when we surrender ourselves over to God, when we just give ourselves over to him, he starts unveiling a lot of these mysteries behind worship. And he not only he leads us to a place where it's not only understandable, but it's experiential, and it's tangible. And man, it is so sweet. It is so sweet. Like the word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, that is so true. It is so sweet. I'm going to tell you something. When you have tasted the majesty and the awe, the magnitude of God, the nothing else in this life, no other desire that this life ever throws at you, will ever satisfy you, because what you truly need and long for more than anything else is the presence of God. And that's it, man. I love the Westminster Catechism. We're not Presbyterians here, but there's some good stuff in there. And the first question in the Westminster Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? In other words, what is our purpose for us as men and as women? What ultimately, at the end of the day, is our purpose, is my purpose? And the answer to that is to glorify God and to enjoy him. Glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And man, I love that. It is so true. I love that. And as our big idea states, we were created for worship. We were created for this. You and I were literally created to worship God and to enjoy his presence that fills every fiber of your being more than anything else that this life or this world could ever give you. God, thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. Scandalous grace that we do not deserve. Holy Spirit, I pray that you flood this place. Take over this sermon, that you flood this place. Use this broken vessel. We are in such incredible need for you. I am in such incredible need for you. God, I pray that you just help us to experience you in a fresh new way. Pray an anointing over this place. Holy Spirit, I pray that you convict us, that you draw us closer to you to experience your presence in ways, in deeper ways. Draw us deeper into this relationship, this intimacy with you. Teach us what it means to worship. Help us to be a family, a body of worship that loves you and lives in abandonment. Pray all these things in your mighty and precious, beautiful name, Jesus. Amen. So as we dive into this topic of worship, to understand what worship is and how to worship, first, we kind of have to understand something. We have to kind of start to understand what is our need. Like, ultimately in life, more than anything else, at the end of the day, what do I truly need to sustain me, to fulfill me? And this can be a really confusing, kind of a hard concept to dive into and a hard thing to try to find an answer for, because there are so many lies. There's so many distractions and lies. And I mean, whether it's social media, we watch TV, Netflix, the music, it's all other people. The Disney Channel, I mean, goodness, man, it's all over this place. The lies that are screaming at us, bombarding us. And what happens is we start just chasing our tail, running around all over the place, just trying to find, you know, jumping from one person to the other person, from one situation to another situation, trying to find anything that will satisfy us, that will give us fulfillment. Like, will this satisfy me? Will this give me fulfillment? Is this what I need over here? Is this person what I need? Are you what I need? Is that what I need? All over the place. But what we find at the end of the day is we just start chasing our tail, and ultimately all these things ever do is just leave us more and more empty inside. That's all that they ever do. See, in the end, what we truly need more than anything else is the presence of God. That is what we need. That is, the presence of God is what our souls long for and need more than anything else. Anything. But what we do so often, we try to fill the voids in our lives with all of these other things, grabbing at anything and everything that we can get our hands on. But the only thing that can truly fulfill, that can fill the voids in our lives, the presence of God, that's it. Like, for example, a lot of people will say, well, what about air? Right? Well, what about, I mean, we got to have air. I got to have air to sustain me. I can't live without air. I got to have air in my lungs. If I don't have air, I ain't going to last long at all, man. You know, I got to have that. That is ultimately, at the end of the day, what I need more than anything else is the air in my lungs. And logically speaking, yeah, you know what, that makes sense, that we really got to have air. That's important. You can't live long at all without air, right? But let me ask you something. If that is ultimately what you think sustains you, at the end of the day, more than anything else, then my question to you is, what sustains the air? What sustains the air? The one that created it. The one that created the entire universe and everything in it. The one that sustains the entire universe and everything in it, including the air, including me and you. We are in absolute need. Presence of God and nothing else. Nothing else. And the best way for us to experience the presence of God tangibly is through worship. See, worship is essentially the gateway to experiencing the presence of God. And this isn't to say that for us as Christians that God isn't with us and in us, because when you are a redeemed son or daughter of the God of the universe, when you have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ and you truly follow Jesus Christ, have given your life to him, then you are a Christian and God is inside of you and nothing can ever take that away. You cannot take that away. Nothing can. But the thing is, how often do we forget that? How often do we forget that? And how often do we let the noise, the distractions, all these other things in our life just distance ourselves from God? And we do this all the time. We distance ourselves from God even though he's right there with us the entire time. So let me kind of explain this. So imagine, and you don't even have to imagine, you can think of that person, somebody, a family member or a friend that you know, that you've spent time with, either this happens all the time or it's one specific time that you will never forget. You spend time with this guy, you go get coffee, you're hanging out with him, whatever else, you're talking, and then even though you're right there with them, you're like standing next to them, you're sitting next to them, you could almost sit in their lap, you're so close. They're just so busy. They're so distracted. It's like they barely even realize that you're there. You know what I mean? It's like, hello, are you there? Like, I'm right here with you. I've been here with you all day. Are you even there? It's like they're right next to you, yet at the same time, they're a million miles away. Like, and the thing is, we know people that have done this, but if we're honest with ourselves, we've been that person that have done this. I mean, like, a lot of you, honestly, you're thinking about your spouse right now. You're like, you just define my spouse. But if you want the truth, your spouse is singing the same thing. Because we've all done it. We all have. I know my wife can say the thing. I was actually, This is in my sermon, but I'm going to say it anyways. It's funny. I was actually saying this to her because I'll think of little things or whatever, and I'll tell her. And I was doing the same thing to her the other day. She was like, David, hello, are you even here? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I just did it the other day. But anyways, we all do it, man. But the question is, how often do we do this to God? How often? We do it all of the time. He is right there with us. The presence of the God of the universe lives in us. There is nothing you could ever do to change that. Yet we get so busy, so distracted by the noise, the lies, the deception, and we act like God is a million miles away, even though he's right there with us and he will never leave us. And we do this all the time. But true worship, guys, it gets us to a point where his presence overshadows the lies, the distractions, the deceptions, even the sin in our life and around us. Worship helps us get to a point where we experience God's presence in our lives intimately, tangibly. And then the question becomes, what exactly is worship? Like, if this sounds like a really important thing, what is this worship thing, and how do we do this? Like, it's just so mysterious. And there's so many different pictures in the Bible, about what worship is, so many stories, different examples that we could go to. But we're going to go to one story in particular today, a story that many of you probably never heard, very deep in the recesses of the Bible. It's about three wise guys, better known as wise men, that journeyed to Jesus to worship him. And obviously, I was kidding. I think all of us have heard that story. Like, even people that don't go to the church that much, that don't read their Bible that much, have probably heard this story, read this story, heard sermons about this story tons of times. Like, I mean, even people that aren't Christians, you can see, like, these nativity sets and stuff that they'll put out. And they could tell you all these different things about him. But what's crazy is, even though a lot of us have read this story, heard this story several times, what's often missed is the incredible, beautiful picture of worship that scene through the wise men. We're going to check this out. The story is in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. The last part of verse 9 through verse 11. It says, "And there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." So, all right, what we're going to do, this sermon is a little bit more interactive. We did this one other time. So if you are here for the first time, it's going to be a little bit different than usual. Everybody, hopefully when you came in, you got two pieces of paper, two handouts. One has the questions. We do that every week. It's for the life group. That's the same questions we go over every Wednesday. But the other handout looks like this. Got the text and a few blanks where we can kind of fill some things in the handout. So if you've got that, go ahead and pull that guy out. I'm going to give you just a second here. All right. And what we're going to do, I'm going to read this text one more time. And the reason that I'm doing this is this just gives you something that you can take home, makes it a little bit more interactive. And we're going to go through, we're going to make some marks. All right. And I'm going to kind of walk you through this. So go ahead and pull that out. I'm going to read this and I'll kind of point out where we're going to make those marks at together here. All right, so here it is, Matthew 2. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star. And so go ahead and put a box around the star. They had seen at its rising. And then underline this part. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. Underline that whole part right there. When they saw the star, underline they were, and then box in the words, overwhelmed with joy. Verse 11, entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and box in falling to their knees. And then underline they worshiped him. Next sentence, then they opened, box in the words, their treasures. And underline, presented him with gifts. And the last part of it is gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So as we dive into this text a little bit deeper, what we're going to do is there's four different things that you kind of boxed in there. And we're going to kind of take a little bit of a deeper look at those things, kind of dissect some of the things that we see there. And we're going to start off with the first one, which is the star. That's the first box that you put around there. And when we think about the star, think about this star that just, you know, appeared, and we don't know if really, you know, anybody else saw this thing. And it's like these guys were following this thing. And what's crazy about this is no ordinary star. I mean, literally, like, no other star is like this thing, because the sole purpose of this star is to lead the wise men to the presence of Jesus. That is the reason, that's the only purpose of this star, is to lead the wise men to the presence of Jesus. See, guys, something we have to understand about worship is true worship gets us to a place where we are completely overwhelmed by the presence of Jesus. That where he's at the forefront of our minds, he's at the center of our thoughts and our desires. And even though Jesus was already with these guys, in the sense of he was in human form and he was on the earth, so he was already with them, see, they still needed to bridge the gap that the world had created between them and Jesus, so that they could go from a head knowledge of his presence to an experiential knowledge of his presence. See, this star that was given to them, it was given to them by God to literally help them cross the divide, cross that gap, that sin, this sinful world had created between the wise men and Jesus. That was the purpose, the only purpose of this star. And see, for us as Christians, again, the presence of God is with us. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, the presence of God is always with us. You can never do anything to take that away. When you are saved, when you have been redeemed and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can never take that away. And his presence is always with you. But again, so often we forget this. So often we distance ourselves from him, even though he's right there with us and he'll never leave us. We distance ourselves from him emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, intimately. We distance ourselves. He's right there, but it's almost like he's a million miles away. And see, for us as Christians, we may not have a star that helps us to experience the presence of Jesus, but we have been given a guide. We've been given a guide. And the word calls him a helper. One of his main purposes, one of the main reasons that this helper is here, is to literally break down the walls and the barriers that are between us and Jesus, to help us experience the presence of Jesus, and just where he's completely overwhelming every facet, every fiber of our being. That is one of the main purposes of this helper. And this helper is called the Holy Spirit. But what's sad about the Holy Spirit is the fact that so many Christians and so many churches don't talk about him, like, at all. They won't talk about him. I mean, it's almost like he doesn't exist, or they're ashamed of him or something. And what I want to do, I want us to kind of check out a text just to get a picture of how important the Holy Spirit is. And this is God talking, okay? This is God telling us how important the Holy Spirit is. Let's check this out in Mark chapter 3, verses 28 through 29, which says, "Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for all sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." Mark 3, 28 through 29. Like, this is God talking. Do you think this is important? Man, this isn't just important, dude. This is huge. This is God talking. I mean, let me read this again. "Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for all sins and whatever blasphemies they utter." No matter what you do, you will be forgiven. No matter what it is, but whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. This is God saying this, but is guilty of an eternal sin. The only time an eternal sin is ever mentioned, this. Blasphemies against the Holy Spirit. This is huge, and it kind of generates the question, well, why? Why don't we talk about the Holy Spirit? Why do so many Christians live their life, don't talk about them, don't talk about the spiritual gifts? Why is it not really preached about much in churches? And the answer is because we are afraid of what we can't control. And what we have to understand about the Holy Spirit is he cannot be controlled. He cannot be contained. He cannot be put into some kind of a box. We can't put our time schedules and our desires around what he's going to do. He makes molds and stretches us. He grows us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And he gets us to this place in our lives where we're completely overwhelmed, every fiber of our being, with the presence of Jesus. He cannot be controlled or contained. People are scared of that. But what we have to understand is that we as Christians are completely incapable of true worship out of a pure heart that beats for Jesus Christ without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We are. You and I alone are completely incapable without the Holy Spirit. And as we think about the star, that the wise men followed, and we think about the Holy Spirit that guides us, what we start to understand and realize is, man, there's something so supernatural about this. There's something so otherworldly about this. This is something that, you know, you can't just wrap your head around and put inside of a box or something. Ultimately, what this shows is that worship is not something that can be contained or controlled. It is not of this world. Worship is something of heaven that God helps us to tap into in order to experience and become overwhelmingly captivated by his presence. Make no mistake about it, worship is supernatural. That's that first word in your handout. Worship is supernatural. The second thing that I asked you to box in on that text was the words overwhelmed with joy. And when we look at this text, it says from the text directly, when they saw, these are the wise men, when they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Like, they didn't just have a little bit of joy, man. They were overwhelmed with joy. These men knew that they were being taken to a place where they could literally experience the presence of Jesus, and they were overwhelmed with joy. What we have to be careful to realize when we dive into this overwhelmed with joy, the whole joy bit, is we have to be able to differentiate joy and happiness, because happiness is just a feeling. Happiness is an emotion. It's here and there. It's gone here one moment, gone the next. But joy is supernatural. Joy cannot be contained. It is just otherworldly, man. I mean, a lot of times in our life when it makes no sense why we would be enthusiastic, why we'll be loving, why we'll be hopeful, when it seems like the whole world is crashing in around you, you got a struggle going on, you know, you got a loved one's got a struggle going on, whatever it may be, but you're so overwhelmed with this just love and just you can't contain it. That's joy. It's not of this world. It doesn't come from this world. It comes from God. That's why people that have been martyred for their faith in the face of death, in the face of agonizing torture, have been overcome with so much joy. And it makes no sense, because it's not from this world. It's from God, man. It's been said that when we worship, we get the joy. God gets the praise. We get the hope, but God gets the honor. I love that. True worship creates overwhelming joy. Uncontainable and unexplainable joy. The third thing that I asked you to box in was the words falling to their knees. And see, these wise men, when they got to the presence of Jesus, actually experiencing the presence of Jesus right there, Adam, they were so overcome, so overwhelmed just by his presence, that they could not help. They could not contain themselves or help but to just fall to their knees and absolute just surrender and worship of him. This wasn't a forced thing. They couldn't. They just naturally just were compelled to just surrender and fall to their knees. And this shows us the posture of worship that we are called to, which isn't so much of a physical posture as much as it is a heart posture. With complete surrender, complete abandonment and surrender of ourselves, being so overcome by his presence and the magnitude of who he is. This points us to the fact of our incredible need to surrender to him through worship and what surrender does as we worship. But even though worship is more about a heart posture than a physical posture, the physical postures will help us. Physical postures that we get into, whether it's getting prostrate before God, going on our knees, they help us to get outside of our comfort zones. They help us to actually step outside of you know, the normal, our everyday, you know, schedules or whatever it may be, rather than trying to control the moment, allowing the Holy Spirit to just take over. And a lot of times those physical postures, they'll actually help us step outside of those comfort zones and surrender to God in the moment. And even in the moment, guys, when we don't feel like worshiping, we don't really want to worship. Let's be honest, we've all been there. I'll admit it, I've been there. Even in those moments, we can tell our bodies, we can command our bodies to worship him. Because regardless of what's going on in our lives or the world around us, he is worthy to be praised. Always, no matter what's going on in your life or the world around you, he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy of honor and glory, no matter what. Honestly, there are times where I don't really want to worship or I don't feel like it. I might be distracted in the moment. I might be over here worshiping. I'm distracted in the moment, struggling with that, struggling thinking about this over here, that over here, a job or, you know, a situation or, you know, whatever it may be. I mean, if I'm being really honest, I might be distracted sometimes in the moment or have the temptation to think about the sermon that I'm about to be preaching in a few minutes. And I'm tempted to just start thinking about that, get anxious about that in the moment. But what I have to choose to do is I have to choose to tell my body, command my body, you will worship in the moment, no matter what's going on in your life or the world around you. The physical postures of worship can help us to worship from a humble heart. And ultimately, we are called to worship from a humble heart. That's your third thing to fill in on your handout, from a humble heart. And the last thing in this text that I asked you to box in was the words, their treasures. And I asked you to underline the words, presented him with gifts. And what's important for us to understand about the treasures and the gifts that the wise men presented to Jesus is these were not superficial, cheap gifts that they gave. These things were extremely expensive, extremely valuable to these guys. They gave the best of what they had to Jesus. And this points us to the fact that we are called to hold nothing back. Whenever we worship, whenever we surrender over to God, to hold nothing back from him, not to just give him the superficial things in our lives. And this isn't just, you know, money or whatever it may be. This could be talents, it could be our time, our attention, to surrender over everything and not hold anything back. And see, what we have to understand is, see, a lot of times the things that are very valuable in our life, when we hold on to those things and we refuse to give them over to God, those can be the very things that cause the most separation between us and God. When we refuse to surrender those things over to him in the moment. But when we choose to worship from a humble heart as the wise men did, then we won't simply hand over the superficial aspects of our lives. We will honestly, willingly be compelled to hand over every aspect of our lives and complete surrender to him in those moments in worship. Through a humble heart that is living in surrender to God, we are compelled to give our time, our talents, on our possessions. We're not forced to. A lot of times people will give tons of money. They'll give tons of their time, tons of their energy, and it'll go for really good causes, really good things that they're giving to and they're volunteering for, whatever it may be. But here's the thing we have to understand. It is not done out of a heart that honestly beats for Jesus Christ alone. Then in those moments, all that we're trying to do is seek approval from God, or even worse, approval from man. That's all that we're doing unless it's done out of a heart that truly beats for Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Guys, we have to be careful as we're worshiping that we remember what we're worshiping and why we're worshiping. Because if we don't, then in these moments, we might find ourselves worshiping idols, seeking approval, or worshiping even the euphoric experience of worship itself. Jumping from just euphoric experience to euphoric experience. That worship gives us. But guys, worship is not about a euphoric experience. It's about giving honor and praise and glory to our loving God, surrendering every aspect of our life to him. It's less about receiving and it's more about giving. Giving to God. Because he is worthy of all our honor, our praise, and our glory. Surrender might possibly be the most important aspect of worship because it helps us to see ourselves as we are before God, but it also helps us to see how desperately we need God every moment of every day. In the end, worship is about surrender. That's the last thing on your handout. Worship is about surrender. My former senior pastor, Matt Pruitt, several years ago, he wrote a book on worship. And in that book, he had a statement. I'm going to read this to you. It says, "Worship is not a cheap thing to be offered without thought. It is not to be done carelessly. It is not to be done without thought of self-sacrifice involved. True worship will be costly." As true worship demands everything that we have, every fiber of our being. But in return, it offers everything that our souls truly need and long for. Everything. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we were created to worship. Worship team, you guys can come on up. As we worship because God is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our honor. He's worthy of our glory. Again, no matter what's going on in our lives or the world around us. Worship isn't just about music. It's not just about singing. It's only one aspect of worship. Worship is literally anything that we give over to God and surrender to Him. Bring Him honor and Him glory. We are called to live our lives as an act of worship to Him, no matter what we're doing. If you're here today and you have never surrendered over to Jesus Christ, and you don't really even know what this worship thing that we've been talking about, this is the first time you've ever heard this, you've never experienced this, then I want to tell you this is available to you right here, right now. This is not something that you earn or you deserve. None of us have earned this or deserved what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary by dying in our place. Jesus meets you where you're at. He will save you where you're at. If God is stirring on your heart, then I want to encourage you, don't wait to surrender to Him. Don't wait to respond to Him. He loves you so much. So much. And if you're here today and maybe you're a Christian, but you've kind of noticed that there's been some things in your life that have been kind of superficial. Your relationship with Him, your worship of Him, it's kind of been limited maybe just to church. And even then, maybe it's been kind of superficial. You haven't really been living your life as an act of worship to Him, surrendering to Him. And if He's convicting you of those things, I want to encourage you, respond to Him. Respond to Him. He will meet you where you're at. He will teach you how to worship. He loves you. He will guide you into intimacy with Him, an intimate love relationship where you're able to just fall into His love. We're going to stand together. I'm going to go ahead and encourage you guys to stand together. And as we sing, I want to encourage you to respond to Him no matter what He's putting on your heart. And I want to encourage you not to hold anything back when you worship. It's not about a certain physical posture. It's about a heart posture. Surrender over it. It doesn't matter if you're standing still or if you were laying prostrate on the floor. Surrender to Him. He loves you so much.
Hey guys, first off, I just want to say thank you for joining us today for the sermon. And whether you're somebody that's come to our church or you're somebody that lives locally, you go to another church, maybe you don't even live here. I just want to say first and foremost, thank you for joining us. And I want to encourage you to respond in some way today, because you know, when we hear a sermon, when we read the Bible, when we whatever it may be, the point of that is for God to speak to us in some way, shape, or form. And so if you are a Christian, you've been a seasoned Christian, you know the Lord already, then the way that we can respond is just by, you know, asking Him, God, what do you want me to do with the convictions that you're giving me based on this sermon, the way that you're speaking to me? What do you want me to do? And then respond to that. Maybe it's an area of your life that you've been holding on to and you haven't been giving it to Him. And I want to encourage you to give that to Him and step out in faith. Or maybe if it's you know, some unbelief that you've had and God has really convicted you of some things. You know, whatever it may be for you, it's different for everyone. I want to encourage you to respond to God and step in His direction. And the other thing too is if you are somebody that maybe you've listened to this and you've never responded to that gospel message, you've never been impacted by that gospel message, but now something is happening, God is kind of stirring in your heart and in your mind a little bit, then I want to encourage you to step out in faith, respond to that gospel message. And throughout the book of Acts, Acts tells us our history as a church. It shows us that, you know, what that response looks like. So number one is to repent. And this word repent, all that means is just to turn from, you know, our sinful ways, our sinful desires, you know, turn from making ourselves God and all these other things in life God, and turn to God and just give Him our life. And then on top of that response, after the repentance, there comes something else. And it's called baptism. And baptism is so key. It's so important. It's seen all throughout that book in Acts and the importance and significance of it. It's this symbol of death to the old self and then birth to this new life in Christ. And we die with Christ to the old self, and we are raised with Christ to walk in this new life. And it's a command from Jesus. So I want to encourage you, if you have made that commitment to Christ, if you've stepped out and you are wanting to follow Christ, then I want to encourage you to take that next step and be baptized somewhere. Whether it's if you have a local church that you want to go be baptized at, I encourage you to do that. If you don't have a church, we would love to be able to celebrate that with you here. But I encourage you first and foremost to do that, to talk with someone, to get counsel on what this means, to seek discipleship as well. So I encourage you to do those things. We would love to talk with you. We are praying for you. I want you to know that you are loved and you are prayed for. So if you're ready to take that next step in your relationship with Christ, and if you want to take that next step with us, then we would welcome you with open arms. And so there's some links that we're going to provide below for you. Please check that out. And again, if you have any prayer requests, please contact us. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to talk with you. And we're excited about taking this next step with you.